Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Chatting with Sherry. This week, help me welcome Lynn and Valerie Constantine. They're going to chat about their wonderful novel, Circle Dance. Welcome, Val and Lynn.
Thank you.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
I'm so happy to have you. Tell us a bit about yourself and your background.
Well, I have a marketing background and for many years worked in corporate America, marketing credit cards, and in the evenings would work on my writing. So it's been about 10 years since I've retired from that and have been working full-time. I'm sorry, writing full-time.
And my background is, well, in the working world, I was always working for nonprofits. I do have an English degree. My major was English literature, and did lots of freelance writing. Circle Dance is the first novel that I've done. And I think another maybe interesting fact is that Lynn and I, as sisters, wrote this, and we're also 14 years apart in age. So people sometimes are kind of curious about how that worked with such an age difference.
So they have different perspectives?
Yes, definitely. You know, Circle Dance deals primarily with family and family values, and we did bring to that a lot of our own experiences growing up. And Valerie is the oldest, I'm the youngest, and we've got two brothers in between. So our perceptions of our parents and of our siblings definitely are different. I mean, we grew up with, you know, in a sense, with different parents just because of the time between us and what they learned. So we had to bring that together and make that work in a synergistic way to combine both of those perspectives, which in many cases were the same in terms of the feelings, but in actual experience could be quite different.
Normally you live in different states. How do you coordinate your working time?
Well, when we wrote Circle Dance, we were both living in Maryland, and we were both working full-time. So what we did then, we weren't too far apart from each other. We would get together once a week in the beginning of the week, and we outlined the book together and assigned different chapters. And then we would write independently, get together again at the end of the week, and switch what our writing, and then edit, comment on it with each other. And I think actually, in a sense, it's probably easier today when we're coordinating our efforts because we've got email and the internet. But when we wrote Circle Dance, all of that was just coming in, you know, to the fore, and so we really had to physically be in the same place, and that's what we did. But now we can do it, you know, virtually.
And when we were finishing, when we were finishing Circle Dance, and as Lynn said, we were working full time, so we both took a week's vacation and decided that we had been working on it for about a year, and we thought, we really need to finish this, and we just took a week and we immersed ourselves in the process, staying together and just working from morning until night, probably till about 11 o'clock at night, and that's how we finally finished the book.
Oh, that's what my question was going to be. How long did it take you, since you're, you know, two different perspectives?
I would say the process was about a year, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did you, when you were doing all your writing, how did you work your social life, your personal life, and your writing? I mean, I know that you spent time together, but you both have your own families. How did you coordinate that?
Well, we assigned a minimum of 3 pages a day. So what we would do is either get up very early in the morning before work and try to do the writing then, or sometimes coming home, and then in some cases when life got too busy and we couldn't do it, then maybe it might be a Saturday just spending all day kind of catching up and writing those pages. So I think just the discipline of knowing that this is what was expected and we were holding each other accountable, I think probably had we not had that, it would have been very easy not to keep up the writing at times, because, you know, life definitely has a tendency to get in the way. But
yeah.
And at the time, Lynn didn't have children at
right.
the time, and my youngest was in college. So I think the demands at home were not as acute as perhaps they are now.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah, and things change rapidly, so you never know what's going to happen next week.
That's right. Yes.
So true.
Exactly. I know your book is about Greek culture. Do you have a lot of love of history? Is that part of what you want? You said in your information that you wanted your children to understand what Greek culture is. Is it pride of heritage, or is it the history? What prompted it?
I think it's a combination of all of that. Certainly a pride in the history of Greece, and that was always something that was talked about. The philosophers, the orators, the playwrights, Aristotle, Plato, Socrates. So that was something that was very much a part of our heritage and a part of who our family was. And I think, too, that the more really that you know about your history, the more you know about yourself.
Yeah.
And so, so there were definitely, I would say, is a pride in heritage. And we both felt, and neither Lynn nor myself are married to Greeks. Our family, our parents, of course, were Greek on both sides. And so we felt that this was a heritage that was sort of, I hate to use the word becoming diluted because I don't mean it in that way at all, but that it was not, that it was perhaps something, an experience that our children would not have, this whole first and second generation experience. And that there was such a rich legacy that we would like to leave for them, and that this was a way to do that, to just tell them this is what it was like.
When you were designing the information in the book, was it classic Greece or was it Greek through the ages? I mean, what brought it about? I mean, were you just talking about how you were brought up?
I think,
what
yes.
It was
definitely more about how we were brought up. I mean, you know, we always both enjoyed reading books about Italian families or, you know, Irish immigrants, and more recently, now there's a lot more books, Indian culture, that sort of thing. And we really looked around and found that there wasn't much on Greek-American culture. There's Zorba the Greek, but that's really old world. I mean, and even my Big Fat Greek Wedding, which came out after we had written Circle Dance, that is looking at a different segment of first-generation immigrants coming here that are really still very immersed in that. And what we wanted to convey, growing up second-generation Greek-American, was the fact that, you know, to anybody on the street, you know, you might not even know that I'm Greek or that Valerie's Greek, but because we're solidly American and American first. However, growing up with, you know, our Yaya, who spoke Greek and English with a broken accent and experiencing all of those things and hearing about her stories coming to America and then looking at our parents and how step by step there was assimilation, but even in that generation, they were still mainly socializing with other Greeks, and it was almost an extended family everywhere you looked. I mean, so many of my parents' friends are aunt and uncle to us, even though we're not really related. So we wanted to just convey that experience because, as Valerie said, not being married to, to Greeks, our children, I mean, my children had never even met my Yaya, so they've never really even heard a relative speak to them about Greece or in a Greek accent. So we just wanted them to be able to pick up the book and see that.
I understand that because I have the Jewish heritage, and one of the things that people don't get is being Jewish is a religion. It's also
right,
a culture.
Right.
It's both. Mm-hmm. People think that being Jewish is a nationality, and it's like, no.
Right.
You could be Japanese and Jewish. It's just the religion. But there is a culture to it. But it's where you are in the world that the culture comes from. Like, my background is European Jews, which is be different than Israeli Jews or Japanese Jews or American Jews. Now, Greek is different because that's a nationality, and the culture came over as a whole when the people came to America. Now, when you were writing the book, was it from the perspective of your grandmother, or was it perspective of the young children listening to the stories?
I think more the listening to the stories. Of course, our grandmother told us her stories of growing up in Greece. She left Greece after the First World War. Her husband came over before the war, and they were separated for 5 years because there was no travel back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
So their first child was born in Greece and was 5 years old when my grandmother was finally able to come to America and join him. And, of course, she told us all of her growing up stories and falling in love with her husband and that kind of thing. But to be told the stories and then to live the actual being, a second generation is quite a different thing. So the experience takes precedence over what you've been told and the stories that you've heard. So I think that probably the book itself is more from the perspective of the first and second generation family that is in America.
Right. It's told through the two sisters who are the second generation. And a lot of what they're examining is what has been left behind, you know, what culture, what customs and traditions were experienced in Greece. Some of those they're still embracing, some they're letting go, and at what cost does assimilation come, and that there are good things to be had by that, but that there are also things that are lost. So it's really this whole balance of looking at, I mean, clearly they're not going to live their lives the way their grandparents or even their parents did, but there are things that they have grown up hearing about that they look back and sort of, you know, yearn for, but then other things that they don't.
Right. That makes sense. Yeah. You were saying before that you both like to read. Do you have favorite books or authors that that really give you a passion for reading?
Mm. I think it's so difficult to say to choose one favorite book or one favorite author. We both love reading about families, so I think we probably could both agree that we love Susan Howitch, who writes these sagas of a family that's spanning generations, and they take place. Her books all take place in England, and then she wrote a wonderful series on the Church of England, which examined again families within the context of the church and the hierarchy. So certainly that, and I love Joanna Trollope, who again writes about families and really, really gets into the whole makeup and soul and mind of each character. And she's just so good at describing feelings and emotions. And I know that this sounds really, the people maybe are not reading Shakespeare for fun or, you know, when they go to bed at night, but I certainly think that those plays that we read in high school and college were showed such complex characters and plots and just genius.
I love
genius.
Shakespeare.
Yeah, right, absolutely. He's just a genius. And
I mean, most of the dramas come from Shakespeare. They
absolutely
may not admit it, but a lot of movies and TV shows are from Shakespeare, too.
That's right.
right.
Absolutely.
Now, I would mirror Valerie's. I mean, Susan Howitch is one of mine. I also love C.S. Lewis, and, that's a completely different type of story. But that writing, when you talk about inspiring, is just to be able to read such seamless prose, knowing that I'm never going to be able to write it like that, but at least the more, you know, I can read it, maybe a little bit of, one sentence will rub off on me. So I like to read, I love to read things, obviously, that are well-written, but primarily I'm driven and drawn to books about strong characters and that I can really get drawn in and identify. And I think, I don't necessarily find plot inspiration from reading, but I definitely find story mechanics, point of view, helpful tips or just different things, the way that an author may handle something that might spark an idea in me on how to turn something around or look at something from a different angle.
Yep, I agree. I don't really think of when I read a book that's going to inspire me to write something, but I also think that reading it brings out areas in you that you probably never thought of. Like when you're reading an old classic, like right now, because of all the hoopla, I'm rereading The Great Gatsby.
Mm-hmm.
Not because I want to see the movie, but because it's actually one of my favorites, and it reminded me, I haven't read that in a long time. But I can never write like Fitzgerald, but I love to read it. And I love the period. I love the imagination. That's what I'm talking about.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
And going back to these classics that are timeless and that they stand the test of time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And nobody can really touch it, not in film, not in theater. Mm-hmm. It's just special.
Yes, absolutely.
That's the way I feel about it.
Yeah, I agree.
Tell us a bit about your book, and what would you like the readers to take away from the experience?
I think that one of the main things that we are trying to convey in the book is the importance of family and the relationships and the values that the old values, not all of those values are disposable, but that there are still things that we can take from grandparents and parents and the old country that are very valuable to us and that help us in our lives. And then there are those things that we say, okay, we can dispense with this. This is no longer useful in this new world that we're in. So I think probably the very broad and universal call to listen to your conscience, to be honest with yourself, and to hold on to your beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
And these are things that really transcend ethnicity.
Yeah.
This is something that just speaks to all of us as human beings.
Absolutely.
And I think that's one of the things that we do try to convey in this, that yes, there is that special part that sets apart an immigrant family and that whole process of assimilating into America, but then there is that other side that is just universal to everyone, and that is speaking to our humanity and to, as I said, believe in yourself and be honest with yourself. Listen to what your conscience is telling you, and then act on that.
Yeah, I think that's like one of the most important things is to follow your own heart. Sometimes it's hard because everybody is trying to stop your heart, stop you from following your heart.
Not even just other people, but there are. We all have conflicts within ourselves of right and wrong and ways that and passions that are telling us to go in one direction that we perhaps know is not the right direction to go in, or is ultimately not really going to serve us. But that's a very difficult thing to pull yourself back and stop and say, no, this is not the road. I have to travel down a different road. That's hard.
And I think, too, with the family, the closeness of the family, but as much as the girls benefit from that, there are aspects, roles that they're cast in that are maybe stereotypical or that are expected that influence them in a more negative way. And that, I wouldn't say a coming of age so much, but really just a coming to themselves of evaluating what they have accepted as a role handed down from family and how they might change that or how that really is not who they want to be. So I think for Theodora and Nicole, who are the two sisters, their closeness, their bond is unbreakable, and I think that is a huge positive for both of them from the beginning. And even though they're in a close family and there are wonderful things about that, in all families, the drawback is, too, sometimes you are seen in a light that really is not your true self, and you can live up to that role subconsciously until you realize, no, wait a minute, and break out and make your own way.
Yep, I agree with that. What kind of feedback have you gotten from the book?
We've gotten very positive feedback from really most of our readers. We get a lot of comments on our blog and different people that we're speaking to, but I think the biggest comment that we hear is how much people love the Parsenis family and that they think that we've done a good job of bringing those characters to life, of giving them depth and giving them, real flesh and blood. So they're not cardboard characters. And they, I was really sad when the book ended because I didn't want to say goodbye to the family. And I hope you're going to write a sequel.
That's writing.
Right.
we had an interesting experience last night. We were at a wedding, a Greek wedding, my big fat Greek wedding. And the bride came up to me afterwards, and she said, "I have to tell you, I've been so nervous about this wedding and all of the preparations." And she said, "I was looking around for a book to read, and everything in the house was nonfiction, and there was just nothing. And I thought, wait a minute, I know there's a book here that the girls had given because the the man she was marrying was our cousin. And so he had a book that we had given him of Circle Dance with an inscription. And she said, I went and found that book, and I started reading, and I couldn't put it down. And she said, this is what got me through planning for the wedding. And she said, at the end, when I finished, I thought, oh, I really want Nicole and Theodora to be at my wedding.
And she's not Greek, right. The bride. Yeah.
So that was very, that was wonderful to hear. Yes, it was. Yeah.
It's nice. I mean, we spoke at a, actually it was an interfaith Jewish luncheon in the fall, and one of the women came to me, and Ersha Valerie and I, and was telling us that she had just lost her father, and that that Circle Dance did the same thing. She said she just read through it, and again, we won't give too much away, but there is a lot of father-daughter dynamics and family dynamics, and she said she just sat on the plane on the way home and cried. But it was very healing for her. She said it just was such a cathartic experience reading it. So I think it just depends on, who reads it. I mean, and then I had another man from the Greek church say to me, a young man, that he never read fiction. And he saw Circle Dance at his mom's house, and he had met me, so he thought, I'll pick it up. And he said, I loved it. Now that was my first fiction book, and now I read a lot of fiction. And when I said, well, what was your favorite part? He said, the whole business plot. So that's a completely, which was interesting, because there's some intrigue, and there's a subplot in the book with the whole family business. And that, as a man, was what he found interesting. I mean, he liked the relationships, too. And then my father-in-law loves Nick, the father. That was the character he related to. So I think
there's something for everyone, I think.
Exactly, yeah.
Yep.
Good.
As someone who was very close to my father passed away, but I understand. Mm-hmm. When I wrote one of my short stories, one of the characters was based on my dad, and so I can't even read that now because... It's just too hard.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, our father also is no longer with us, and Nick is very much based upon him. And but in a way it's kind of nice because it's a tribute in another way, I think, for them to live forever.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What's the biggest satisfaction in completing your book? Other than completing it.
Right, yes, right. And I was going to say, completing it was a great satisfaction.
Yeah, I kind of figured that part.
right. But I think that's really a double-sided question, or maybe double-sided answer, because there also was a sense of loss upon completion, because these were people we lived with for really over a year, because we talked about the characters before we started writing. And so the characters become so real. You live with them every day. You wake up thinking about them. You go to bed thinking about them. And then, of course, you're writing about them. So once it's finished, it's almost as if this family that you've become so close to has disappeared from your life. So that was a little bit difficult. And I think that probably a lot of novelists experience that sense of loss, but certainly the sense of satisfaction overwhelmed that of being finished.
Well, and I think too, it's been a bit of a continual process, because we had it made into an audiobook, and that was really exciting when that was completed, and hearing someone else reading the book and bringing the characters to life, but having an inflection in a place maybe we hadn't imagined, really brought it kind of gave a different interpretation as well, I think. And surprisingly, because in some ways we've looked at it so many times, I didn't think I could ever read it again or it could affect me anymore, but it still had was able to evoke some emotion hearing it.
I think that one of the things when you finish a book is that you're like, oh, that was the hardest thing I've ever done, and then you have to promote it.
Oh, exactly.
You said it.
Which is worse than writing. It's like it's more painful than writing, in my opinion.
That completely mirrors our experience. It was like, yes, we're finished. And then it was like, oh, my heavens, we really, look at this job now. I didn't sign up for this job.
Yeah.
We thought writing was the
job.
It is. It absolutely is. Marketing.
What do you think about social media? Is it fun, or is it a tool, or is it a little of both?
For me, it's a little of both. I have embraced it pretty wholeheartedly, and I think it's one of those things that I enjoy it for many reasons. I really like connecting with other people, and I have made, I hesitate to call them friends, but I do feel like they're friends, different friends through Twitter and through Facebook, other writers who have actually given me, you know, some tips on, you know, ways to market or different things, and, you know, or I've helped them. I've actually had some short stories review, you know, looked at by some other people. So I enjoy, you know, the that part of it. I also just like spending some time reading different things. I mean, I've picked up invaluable things on Twitter and Facebook. And I think I probably almost like it too much because it does eat a bit into my writing time, and I have to force myself sometimes to turn it off. But I use it a bit as a break as well. So if I'm writing in the morning for, you know, a couple of hours, I will take a break, jump on Facebook, jump on Twitter. So I think it's wonderful. Because when Circle Dance first came out, the only way to promote it was really on your feet. And so the fact that you can sit in your house and reach all of these people, I think, is a huge breakthrough for writers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I agree. My first book, that was what I mean, my dad was alive. He was so cute. He would hand out, I had made flyers, and he would hand out flyers to everybody in his office, anybody he saw.
Oh,
no. He was like the best PR person on the planet.
Oh, that's so nice. Oh.
So sweet.
Yeah.
He also ended up telling people the whole story of the book, and my mother would be taking him under the table. Would you let them buy the book?
Yes. He was proud of you. I know. Our mother's our biggest fan as well.
So. Yeah, my mom is very proud. I mean, and when I did the second book, I put my whole beginning is about my dad and how it's dedicated to him, and she cried when she read it. So.
Oh, yeah.
But when promoting to me, I mean, I love doing my show because I'm talking to other people, but it's
right.
Very hard for me to promote myself. I mean, it's not
I think
easy.
Yes. I think that's true. I mean, and I think that was the biggest maybe turning point for me that, and I'm still not great at it, but I've gotten a little better. And I think, too, seeing other people promote themselves and realizing, you know, it's okay to, if you have something valuable to offer, it's okay to offer it up and you don't need to feel embarrassed by it. Where, in the past, I mean, I remember doing book signings and I almost would avert my eyes and not want to look, you know, at anybody because it feels awkward, right, to say, because it feels like you're saying, hey, look at me. But it really isn't that. It's just trying to, you know, to share what you've put into, you know, what you put all your heart and soul into, which, you know, some people are going to enjoy and others won't. But I think it's important to try to separate your personal self as much as you can from your work so that you can offer it out there without feeling embarrassed.
Exactly. And it's also a chance when you have an event like that to meet people and to interact with the readers that you're selling your book to.
Exactly.
So it's actually really a good thing. You have to just get your mind all over your own.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Your
it is
issue.
Definitely a shift. Yeah. I would agree with that.
And it's fun. It's fun to meet the readers and to talk about and to hear them talk about the characters and what they thought. And yeah, I really enjoy that part.
Speaking of that, do you have any events coming up?
Yes, we're doing a lot of book clubs, and we've been doing Skyping with different people on book clubs. So we don't have a speaking engagement in the next month or anything. Mostly just that, and then we're both attending Thriller Fest in New York in July, which we're very excited about, and that we'll be attending lots of craft workshops. And meeting other authors for, I think it's about 4 or 5 days. So that's the next thing that we're going to attend together.
That's
looking
exciting.
Forward to that. Yeah, that's in July.
And we don't have a lot of time left. I just want to know what you're working on now.
I'm working on a thriller, and it's pretty much complete my first draft, and it's about a Supreme Court justice who's murdered and the conspiracy behind that.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
It's a good one, too. And I'm working on actually two projects, one that I've put aside in favor of the other one. The first one is an old a New Testament story set in New Testament times in Jerusalem. So there's been a lot of research for that book, which I've loved. I've learned so much. And the other one is a contemporary women's I would say, women's fiction.
Right. Cool. And we're also doing a few short story prequels to Circle Dance as well, just a couple little character prequels to give a glimpse into what the characters were doing before Circle Dance.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Sadly, we're at the end of the interview. I've really enjoyed it. I'd like my live audience.
Bye.
Thank you. I like my live audience to thank both Valerie and Lynn for a wonderful, wonderful time. Next week, we're going to have Thomas Smith and James Darrell Williams to chat about their book, Which One Am I? Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you for chatting with Sherry.